You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
Welcome to The Pulse on a Friday with me, Matt. I'm joined here by Liv, Ben, Rebecca and Naya for a very special edition of The Pulse. For the first 30 minutes, we're going to be talking about democratic reforms taking place in the union, as there's been some controversy over them today, with several points being raised amongst students. So last night at the Democratic Procedures Committee, it was voted to change the role of the President to Union Development Officer, to change Equal Ops and Welfare to a new title, and to introduce a full-time Liberation Officer, bringing the full-time Officer Committee up to 8 officers in total now. These were all proposals that were largely seen as part of a referendum that was rejected on Wednesday, where over 1,000 students voted, and by a ratio of 3-1, they voted down the proposed changes to the officer committee and indeed how the SU as a whole was structured in different zones. Now, as a result, this has caused some controversy today after Euron were the first to break the story earlier this afternoon. So we're going to try and dissect it, break it down, go over the controversy and work out what we could see in the union going forward. Now, I think the key reason this has caused controversy is because people see it as being in sort of counterance to the referendum result, which obviously was rejected strongly. We're not going to express our personal opinions on here, as obviously it's not our place to do so. But this has caused some controversy. Liv, what do you make of the reforms in sort of contrast to the referendum result?
I think that the reforms that we saw happen yesterday at the DPC, they seem like they've taken parts of what the referendum covered, which was voted against by students, and put it through anyway.
Yeah, I think this has been a thing that's caused some controversy, and obviously part of the referendum was enabling to give students more empowerment, to encourage them to vote more, as electoral turnouts were going down year on year for the last 5 years since we achieved record highs in the country. And naturally, it's something that the SU wanted to counter because student engagement is undeniably crucial to SU life. However, it's worth noticing some interesting things about the Democratic Procedures Committee last night in terms of its meeting. In the agenda that was set out for the meeting, there was no mention of these proposals, especially with regards to welfare. It was mentioned that the presidency would be discussed, and you can find all these documents by going onto the SU website and searching Democratic Procedure Committee. So yeah, it was mentioned that the SU presidency would be discussed, but not that a motion would be voted on to change it to Union Development Officer. Now, it is worth noting that the argument was made at the meeting, which I attended, that this was part of James Feasey's manifesto to be president, which he was elected upon, as obviously he was aiming to enact democratic reform. This was the platform upon which he ran, alongside trying to rename a building to after a cat, but that's by the by. But on a serious note, this is arguably has got a democratic mandate. Would you guys agree that this proposal has some weight to it in terms of his mandate?
I think obviously he does have a mandate from his election as president, but at the same time, all these proposals have been put to a referendum, which was rejected by the students. So it's kind of saying I have a mandate from one form of democracy, but at the same time, it's almost ignoring another form of democracy as well.
And obviously, it's worth noting that in terms of student body, whilst last year's student group voted to enact it, the most up-to-date result of the referendum was from a current student group. The nature of student life, as we all know, is that it changes by about a third every year in terms of its population. So would you say that's a considerable sort of change in terms of how we view this democratic result?
Yeah, and it's also a really different context as well, because that last year was obviously under the kind of the guise of all SU elections, whereas this obviously was focused solely on their attempts at democratic reform. And although a turnout was a lot lower than in the SU elections, it's obviously still a big change in the student body, yeah.
Also worth noting that when you look into the SU bylaws, in terms of democratic procedure, referenda is actually placed against and above the Democratic Procedures Committee. What would you say that this has the implications for the DPC's decision last night, considering the referendum is placed above them in the hierarchy?
I would question whether or not then the reforms passed last night can be considered legitimate if referendum is placed higher in the hierarchy.
I think I just want to add to that, because In the Democratic Procedures Committee guidance document that's on the SU website, the fifth part of that is that in deciding whether to accept the proposal, the committee members shall take account of the following principles. And the first one given is proposed changes should be democratic and fair.
Hmm.
So if we've just had a referendum result that directly goes against that, I'm not sure how we could say that.
Well, to play devil's advocate here, the argument was made at the DPC meeting that actually the referendum was more about zones than officer roles, and that it actually, this isn't to do with the referendum in the sense that the referendum focused on zones and the complete restructuring of the SU. What would your reaction to that be as a panellist?
I mean, I would say that James has had his... obviously, you can say that he had his mandate with his... when he had his manifesto, he could have changed, potentially, the role of the presidency. But why put it in the referendum to begin with? If you're going to put it towards the student vote, then you need to respect the student vote. Like, it's fine if you argue that it's been voted through on your manifesto, but you kind of need to pick. You can't then later... I understand, obviously, this is the DPC who have chosen to do this, but even so, like, they know that, and I think they should respect the democracy of having the referendum in the first place.
Worth noting as well that actually sources from the SU have told us that the DPC meeting was actually scheduled to be a couple of weeks ago and was requested to be moved to this day after the referendum. So that's certainly an interesting development in how we should view this. How would you sort of react to that, Ben?
Yeah, I think obviously there seems to be something strange going on when this proposal was... when the meeting was moved to after the referendum. I can understand why if they're intending to debate a motion like that in light of the referendum result.
Mm.
It does seem quite unusual that, especially if it knew what no one knew what was going to be debated and as if it wasn't on the agenda, that they moved it to after the referendum result and then also went ahead with it after the result of the referendum, which was no.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time that you heard from one of the SU officers themselves. I caught up with Community Officer Jacob Collier earlier today and had a chat about what he thought the implications for students would be. I'm joined here by Jacob Collier, SU Community Officer. Jacob, can you take us through the changes that were voted through at the DPC meeting last night?
So we've got two motions that went forward. The first one was to change the president role to union development, and the other was to introduce a liberation officer, which would be full-time, and also part of it was to change the equal opportunities and welfare role to a wellbeing and welfare officer.
So obviously these were some components that were part of the recent model put to the students at a referendum, which was comprehensively rejected by a ratio of 3 to 1, around 900 odd votes against and 300 votes for. Do you think this challenges democracy and student democracy in a way by the fact that this committee has essentially said, well, despite the referendum, we're going to start these things anyway?
I think it does, because whatever you think of these changes, whether you support them or not, the fact is that we've just had a referendum in which 71% of voters in that referendum rejected the model that was proposed. And I think for this to be taken to a backroom committee of 10 students and voted on really does fly in the face of democracy. And I think if you're somebody that has voted in that referendum and you see that changes have been made anyway, I think that you would probably start to distrust the Students' Union, and I think that that does have an effect on our reputation.
And obviously a large motivation for the changes were apparently to try and increase student engagement, but surely as a result of these changes made in a backroom committee, student engagement might well go down as people feel like their voice isn't being heard at all.
I think that's entirely possible, and also the nominations for the new officer team are going to be opening on Monday, so that's 3 days from now, and we're not giving people the certainty of what roles are going to be elected, so how can we possibly get the best calibre of candidates if we've not given people time to come up with their manifestos properly and kind of consider what they would want to do if they were elected into the roles.
It's interesting to note as well that we've heard at URN that this meeting was actually scheduled to be 2 weeks ago, the DPC meeting, and was requested to be moved by James Feasy, the president, to after the referendum. What did you know of this? What do you make of this?
Well, I understood that this was going to happen, that it was originally scheduled for a different date, but it was moved deliberately to after the referendum, so that if students did not vote through the proposals, that were going forward, then this kind of behaviour could happen. I think that that is quite undemocratic in itself, and I'm sure that students will have some questions for James around that. And of course there's ways in which you can hold officers to account, and I'd encourage anybody who is not happy with how this process has played out to exercise that right.
Yeah, quite right. In terms, you mentioned the nominations opening on Monday. Indeed, I believe it had gone so far that the handbook had already been printed with the rolls in about after the referendum result. And worth noting as well on the SU website that after the referendum result, it was posted that equal opportunities and welfare and president would still be elected, although that webpage has been amended today. What do you make of these developments?
Well, I think it's completely confusing for students, and we should not be making these changes right now. We've just had a referendum in which students have had their say. For us to be making changes like this through backroom committees, it's not transparent, it's not open. I think this is going to put people off the Students' Union. We've already, our reputation has been damaged in the past. I think this further adds to that. And yeah, I think it's an insult to the referendum process that we've just been through, that people can vote and then that be completely ignored. And I think it does set a dangerous precedent for referendum if they fail in the future, that things can just be changed via a committee anyway. I mean, could you imagine if the referendum went through, but yet I decided to go to DPC and change everything back to how it was? I would expect that there'd be uproar, quite rightly, at what I'd done, and I expect that people would hold me to account for that, and I think the people that have made these decisions should be held to account for their actions.
Well, I think that's a very fair point of view to take, and obviously our role as a student media group is to ensure that the SU is held to account for its decisions, and I know all of us at your own will endeavour to do so in a fair and equal way. Jacob, thank you very much for talking to me today. I know this is obviously a very challenging time for you as a member of the officer team, so I appreciate your time. Community officer Jacob Collier there. Worth noting, we reached out to SU President James Feasey if he wanted to come on today, but he's on annual leave, so I was unable to do so. We've also reached out to the DPC, Democratic Procedures Committee, but they haven't replied to us, so they haven't sent anyone on. Obviously, we're always welcome on the Pulse to get their opinion on what's happened, and we really appreciate a conversation with them to better inform the student body, which we always seek to do on the Pulse. Now, I think I want to touch on the impact these changes will have on our student group, because it's worth noting that the SU election nominations open on Monday. So obviously, very quick turnaround from the rolls being changed in title and the new one being added to people having a chance to consider and write manifestos to put themselves forward for this, indeed quite a significant change, to the degree that I'm aware that the FSU officer handbook publishing the roles of each officer has already been printed before the changes were actually announced, which is an interesting development. Ben, what do you make of this, the fact that obviously these people put themselves forward to serve the student body as SU officers are now going to have to contend themselves with name changes in two and a new position altogether?
Yeah, and like you said, the nominations open on Monday, and so we're about to head into another election cycle, and people may not even know what they're voting for or what they're even running for. I think it's actually quite interesting that we saw on the SU website today about, on the page which had the results of the referendum on, saying which roles would be open for people to run for, they removed In the page that was published on Wednesday night, it still had the Equal Opportunities and Welfare Officer and President on the page, yet since then is now changed to remove those two job titles.
Yes, it was last night when I checked, it was indeed still having those roles on, and we worked out about mid-morning today that they had updated it, which is obviously an interesting move after the result of the referendum. So yeah, make of that what you will. But in terms of the upcoming election, obviously Liberation, I think, is a role that people have sort of trying to understand. Obviously it's something new, which is obviously something that needs to be communicated. I think it's essentially trying to represent minorities at the University of Nottingham, which I think we can all agree is an admirable thing, because in this growing climate, it's important that we fight out against hate and repression. So in terms of that role, do you think that having a Liberation Officer could be a positive move in some aspects, taking the democratic aspect away in terms of, well, in terms of better representation for all students at University of Nottingham?
I do, but only if there's clarity regarding what the role consists of. At the moment, I think there is a lack of clarity about the roles that have been changed, and that is going to have an effect on SU elections. So regardless of whether or not I think adding liberation is a good idea, I think there needs to be more clarity communicated to students.
I think that's exactly what's supported in Miles's Facebook page. So he is currently Equal Opportunities Officer, is that right? And that's exactly what he said. He agreed with it, but that there was more clarification needed, but that he definitely disagreed with the process that's currently taking place. And I think the thing that struck us as all quite shocking was the fact that it's his role that's sort of being changed, and he wasn't even fully aware. He wasn't at that meeting.
Well, that's what he's written. Obviously, we can't. We haven't got the chance to scrutinise that properly, so we'll have to take that as merely Miles's opinion. So that is not the view of URN, but what Miles Smith-Thompson, I believe his name is, has put out on a Facebook post. Jacob Collier has also put out a similar Facebook post expressing their opinions. Again, those aren't the opinions of URN. All we're doing is highlighting the issue for you student groups. And yeah, we'd encourage you to message in if you've got any questions. So let's move on to an issue of engagement. This was something that was raised at the meeting last night, which I attended. Myself and Jacob Collier raised the idea that potentially, if students vote in a referendum and then feel like some aspects of the referendum are being brought forward despite it being rejected, do you think this will negatively impact engagement?
I think people have seen what has gone on now, and I think people will lose faith in the university's democracy, given that literally less than 24 hours after their referendum result came through, a meeting was being held where they were, you know, even discussing changing the system that was in part rejected through the referendum. And I think obviously turnout wasn't massive in the referendum itself. Mm. There are over 30,000 students at this university, and only 1,300 voted.
Is that arguably indicative of the very engagement that James Feasey and the rest of the SU officer team wanted to improve through the referendum?
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. I think obviously one of their aims was, of course, to increase participation. And even when it's the general SU elections, turnout is not over 20% or something like that. So it's still pretty low across the board. But I think when you see kind of events like this, it isn't going to give you any faith in democracy anyway. And you may think, why bother?
Yeah, it's very understandable that it would provoke such a response. Obviously, it's very easy to interpret this as a rejection of democracy. And I think it's also worth noting that this was a referendum that I think a lot of us at URN, especially those who have been involved in journalistic affairs at the SU for a long time, we were very unsure about which way it would go in terms of the result. There was a lot of debate about it. And I think we were all quite surprised, actually, by the magnitude of the result against it, especially considering, and this is an important point to consider here, that there wasn't an official no campaign. Naya, do you think this was surprising, considering that there wasn't an official no campaign, and obviously the yes campaign was making a strong effort to put their case forward?
Absolutely. I mean, you would expect a side that's more publicised to be more successful. I think for me, when it comes to engagement, I thought what was interesting was that we were all able to get an email giving us the results, but none of us were, I didn't ever receive an email being told about it, and I've spoken to some people today and people didn't even know about the referendum. If you're not sort of in that no sort of bubble, I thought it was quite interesting that if the focus is on increasing engagement, there wasn't enough publicity around it.
Regarding the result, after speaking to a lot of my friends or fellow students that are very involved in sport, I know that there was a kind of feeling within students who are participating within sport societies that they didn't think that the model that the referendum proposed would actually benefit them. So whilst I was surprised at the amount, like at the disparity between yes and no votes, actually I wasn't that surprised that it didn't go through.
Do you think then that considering that, as we said already, it was a decisive result, that this should have been brought forward to the Democratic Procedures Committee to consider?
I think the fact that it was a large kind of majority really that voted against it. So I think from that point of view, it unquestionably it shouldn't have been brought forward to the DCP. I mean, I can see why, perhaps. I mean, it is slightly confusing why the DCP did take it up, and I understand that they haven't. Obviously, they're not trying to push the entire of the referendum through. It's not all of the changes, but nonetheless, I mean, I think the vote was very clear.
We've had a message in from a member of the public. They haven't given a name, so please do give a name if possible. So obviously this is a non, as it were. They've said, unless a strong anti-SU candidate comes forward, there'll be next in no engagement in next SU election. They can't expect us to vote if we don't know who we can trust behind closed doors. I think looking at the social media outpouring, that's representative of some of the anger and frustration students have felt today, that decisions appear to be made without knowing. And again, I'll take you back to the note that for the agenda for the Democratic Procedures Committee meeting, which was made available on the SU website beforehand, and indeed notice of the meeting was on the Portland big screen and screens around the SU. So obviously there was some advertisement of the meeting, even if perhaps you were a little unsure as to what it concerned. On the agenda of the DPC, these proposals were not explicitly mentioned, especially the ones regarding liberation and equal opportunities and welfare, which I think is the ones that really frustrate people the most, because there is an argument to be made that obviously James Feasey was elected with a mandate from the people to change the role of president to union development officer. That was in his manifesto. So there is an argument to be made there. But ultimately, what we've seen here is two things not on an agenda for a democratic meeting that anyone could attend. Therefore, people didn't know that these things were being voted on and couldn't turn up to give a voice. Do you think that's perhaps the biggest issue here, that people weren't aware these proposals were being voted on?
Yeah, and I think that is a really good point. And I think it all does come back down to the idea of engagement. I mean, for me personally, if you told me, I think I've heard of the Democratic Procedures Committee before, but I think like a lot of people, I didn't really know what it did. I've, you know, seen the title written down somewhere, but I didn't really know what do they actually do, what do they have control over. And it turns out they actually have control over quite a lot of stuff, and they have the power to enact those reforms if they would have been able to do it. And so I think it does, you know, come back around to the idea of engagement, because people simply don't know what's going on, and therefore you're not going to be really that interested to turn up. But it turns out they still have a lot of power that people don't know.
Indeed, although, as we said already, in the bylaws, referendum is placed above the Democratic Procedures Committee, which will be an interesting one for various organisations within the SU to work out. If you want to take a look at any of this information for yourself, if you think, well, what are the polls saying? They're making it up. Then you can find all this information, as we have, on the SU website. If you search Democratic Procedures Committee, you can find the agenda for the meeting, which was published in advance. You can also search for the bylaws, if you can find them, and see in there the referendum being placed above Democratic Procedures Committee. Again, we're simply stating what it says in the uni bylaws and the documents produced. We're not giving our opinion. So I think that probably brings to an end to our discussion on this. Obviously a controversial issue that will rumble on and probably have ramifications for the upcoming SU elections, with the new officer group set to be elected. If you have any questions at all that you would like answering from the polls, please do message us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're at UN1350, get in touch, and we'll do our best to direct you into the place where you can find the best information. I expect we'll probably talk about this more in the future, but for now, I think it's time to talk about some other issues. So after this next song break, we'll be back to talk about some of the other issues of today. But that concludes our section on the Democratic Procedures Committee.
This is URN.